Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. Your host, Austin Peterson, here with a very special guest. I'm here with Sarah Miller. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Austin. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. So today we're going to be talking about the biggest news of the week, which is the attack of Solange, which is Jay-Z's and Beyonce's sister, which is Jay-Z's sister-in-law. Solange attacked Jay-Z in an elevator at the Standard Hotel in New York, New York. Basically, I think the news broke this morning. We found out exactly what happened. What the reason was that Solange was apparently upset that Jay-Z was possibly flirting with this fashion designer. But the real question that we want to talk about here on the Freedom Report podcast is something, a question that was asked on The View by Whoopi Goldberg about whether or not you can hit someone if they hit you back. Because the question is that if a woman attacks you, can you strike her back? Let's take a listen to the clip, and then Sarah and I are going to have a little conversation about it, all right?
I think Solange was quite ready for him to do whatever he was going to do.
But this is the thing, if
anybody hits you, you have the right. I know that many people are raised in a very different way, but if a woman hits you, to me, you have the right to hit her back, just like you say to little kids.
All right, Sarah, so you heard what Whoopi Goldberg had to say about this case. What do you think? Do you think that if a woman strikes a man, that a man should have the right to strike her back? Or do you think that there's a bit of difference in the strength of the genders, and so men should have to be a little bit more careful when it comes to the delicate females?
I mean, I hate to say it, but I think we're going to agree on this. I just think that if someone attacks you, no matter the gender, that you should be able to defend yourself.
You know what was crazy about the story, too, is that as Solange is attacking Jay-Z, like, viciously, and ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen the video, you need to get online. We'll include it in this in the podcast video update report here so that you can actually watch the video from TMZ. She is viciously striking him, and he's having to cover his balls. You know, he's getting kicked at down where the sun don't shine, and, I mean, she looks dangerous, like, crazy dangerous. She'd probably been drinking, and she looked like she was going to get all sorts of violent. If that bouncer hadn't stepped in, Sarah, she could have done serious damage to Jay-Z. But here's the problem. If Jay-Z had so much as raised a hand to strike her, the media would have cut him down. There would have been a mugshot. He would have been on the national news. This would have been a totally different story. Don't you agree?
I do agree. And I think it's one of those situations where you don't know what you would do until you're in the situation. Mm-hmm. And for me, I say I would want him, I think he has the right to defend himself, mm-hmm. but even thinking back, watching the video, had he defended himself, I probably would have been like, what a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, so even though I think he has the right to do it, my filter would have told me that it was the wrong thing to do had I seen him defend himself.
But here's the thing. So what was your opinion when you saw the pictures of Rihanna with her face all screwed up because Chris Brown obviously beat the crap out of her? What was your opinion then?
I mean, I just thought, when can I make jokes about this? How long do I have to wait?
Yeah, but I'm serious, because here's the thing. Like, the story was with Chris Brown and Rihanna was that, you know, the rumor is that she gave him an STD or something like that, but that's unconfirmed. The thing is that when it came to the Chris Brown and Rihanna story, Chris Brown was the bad guy. He was terrible. And Whoopi Goldberg, once, you know, he was sort of rehabilitated, she stepped in a little bit on Chris Brown's side and was kind of saying, you know, hey, give this kid a break. You know, because society doesn't forgive a man who hits a woman. Well, there are some crazy suit psycho fans of Chris Brown who still loved him no matter what. But everybody took Rihanna's side, as you know, because Rihanna got her butt kicked. You know, she had all those bruises and she became a sympathetic public victim. And I think that it's easy to have a narrative of women as the victim. But when you see video like this, you realize that women can be just as violent as men, but there's a double standard for how it gets reported. Like, I think that there was a study we found that showed that 40% of domestic violence victims are men, which so I mean, it's because they're likely to be embarrassed, you know, if they call the police. What do you think?
No, I agree, and I think as men too, in a role of peacekeeper, I mm-hmm. think is another big issue. Mm-hmm. Men are supposed to be the protectors mm-hmm. and the peacekeepers, so there's that standard too, I think.
So isn't that a sexist double standard?
Yeah, I do. I think so. I think that it's a double standard that it's one of those things that will never be taken away. Like the way women will always be more valued for their looks. Mm-hmm. That's something that is wrong. We mm-hmm. all agree on it. Mm-hmm. The way models have to be skinny in magazines, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. We all agree on it.
Why is that wrong?
I don't think it's ever going to change.
Why is that wrong?
I mean, it's, you know, there's people who believe that it's wrong, that there should be all women represented. Uh-huh. It's one of those things that you could talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, but I just don't think it will ever change.
Listen to some of these commenters online. They say, Whoopi Goldberg, her statement's a mess. You can defend yourself without hitting back. There's no rights involved, just saying. People are like, oh, look, we're traveling back in time, you know? And Whoopi stays defending trifling abusive BS from men. It's like, you know, there's like these feminists out there just waiting for a man to do something wrong so they jump on him, you know? It's like, and think about it. This was a joke. This is what really makes me angry, is that it was funny that she was attacking him. Nobody found it funny when Rihanna got her butt kicked by Chris Brown. Nobody was laughing at that, you know? It's like there's such a double standard where it's like there was a story that they talked about actually on The View and was lampooned by comedian Bill Burr, where a man got his penis cut off, thrown in a garbage disposal, and a woman turned it on, and they were laughing about it the next day on The View, right? But then Bill Burr makes a joke. You think that if a guy cut off a woman's breast, threw it in a dryer and turned it on, that anybody would be laughing about it the next day? No. The NFL would have a special colored headband that everybody would have to wear. Yeah. There would be a day of silence because of the woman who got abused. It's like women don't care. Or actually, society doesn't care if men get hurt. It's just assumed, you know, send men off to war to die, sign them up for selective service, beat the crap out of them if you're a woman, and your men are disposable nowadays. What do you think about that?
No, I even remember going back as when I was like in fourth grade when Titanic came out and thinking to myself, if my husband was on that boat, I would have put him in a dress, done his makeup, and got him on the life raft. Like, mm-hmm. I think that there is...
That's a great story. That's a metaphor we should talk about, because people talk about, you know, the idea of women and children first, right? And they say, yeah, you know, well, and people accept that. They're like, oh, women and children first. Yeah. But the idea is there that somehow women are more valuable, right? Is that because... and
which isn't true, really.
No. Well, here's the thing. So they say women are more valuable because they could have more children, they could bear more society. First of all, like, all of humanity is not dying, okay? It's just the freaking lifeboat. It's just the Titanic here.
Yeah.
And second of all, if the question was that women are supposed to get on the Titanic, they're supposed to get on the lifeboats first because they could have children and contribute more people to society, well, then wouldn't that disqualify women who are not of childbearing age? So shouldn't you go through and find all the women who are old and who can't bear children anymore? And shouldn't young men who can actually reproduce?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a double standard. There's a double standard that women and children are weaker. Children obviously are weaker, but women apparently are not just committing domestic violence. They're doing it at an incredible rate. Here's a story that's related to this that came out, and we at the Libertarian Republic, we wrote an article about this last year by Tiffany Madison. The question is called, when is it okay for a man to punch a woman? And she asked the question, do two behavioral standards exist for the genders? And this happened when there was a YouTube video that showed an altercation between Jets and Patriots fans, which culminated with a man punching a woman in the face at MetLife Stadium. The video went viral. And basically what happened was that 26-year-old Jacqueline Nugent and Mandy McDowell were aggressing against this guy, Kurt Paschke. And Kurt was backing away. And as he's backing away, these women are coming at him, throwing fists, and he just hauls off and decks one of them. Now, here's the story. It was a tale of two criminals. The New York Daily News started calling the guy a Jets goon, and he's a gangrene fanatic. And then they say that he violently assaults this, quote, perky Pats fan, who's a beautiful Boston blonde, Jacqueline Nugent. You know, and the whole media narrative, woman good, man bad, you know. And so, you know, Tiffany asked the question, is it ever acceptable to strike a woman? And people are saying things like, you know, it's never okay. Women are a special class of citizen above the law and civil standards. And it's basically deference and pandering, you know, like women, like every day where it's like domestic violence, making men out to be these evil aggressors so that when violence of is committed by women against men, that it, that he should just have to take it. You know what I mean? What do you have to say about that?
I think what I take from this is that everybody wants rights and freedoms, mm-hmm. but they don't want to give up what they already have. So for me, I think women don't want to be sexualized. We don't want to be sexually harassed or to be looked at as objectified, mm-hmm. but we all post, me myself right now, my profile pic, I'm showing my some part of my breasts, mm-hmm. but you know, we as women, we still complain. But then as men, your point is that you believe that men are harshly criticized, mm-hmm. are because
as
of
violent
as
animals.
Violent animals, exactly. Right. But you look at fighters and boxers and football, so we have that image in our mind, right. of the men being the fighter.
Right.
It's in our face all the time.
Right. So Tiffany says this. She goes, findings that women are as violent as men have been termed gender symmetry, which is a sweet label for an ugly truth. We accept a high degree of violence against men by women, and women that assault men are more likely to avoid arrest even when men contact the police. Men are more often seen as the aggressor and arrested even though they've committed no crime. As one researcher noted in the study that Tiffany cites, a case is made for a paradigm having developed amongst family violence activists and researchers that precludes the notion of female violence, trivializes injuries to males, and maintains a monolithic view of a complex social problem. Is it any wonder why female-on-male violence is woefully underreported? In the UK, they did a study that showed that out of all of the cases of domestic abuse, 55,000 men were convicted of domestic abuse, 4,000 were women, 40% of women being... 40% of domestic violence victims are men. There seems to be a double standard here, and it's the kind of thing that you can't talk about, because when Whoopi Goldberg comes out and says, you know, oh, you have the right to hit her back, well, all the trolls and feminists... What's funny to me is, like, feminists want equal rights, right? But they don't want equal rights. They don't want to have equal consequences. You know, they want to have their cake and eat it, too. You know, if you want to... what's the thing, the famous Will Smith saying? Don't start none, won't be none. You know, and that's the joke, right? But it's true, because if a man is being assaulted by a woman, you know, Sean Connery was famous with this Barbara Walters interview where she asked him, she said, you said once that you thought it was okay to slap a woman, open-handed slap a woman. Do you still believe that? And he's like, yes, I haven't changed my mind about that. And she's like, outrageous, you know, oh my God. Yeah, well, you know, if a woman's coming at you throwing fists, what the hell are you supposed to do? Restrain her. And I know all the white knights are going to be listening to this one going now, oh, what, man, you think you're so big, bro? What, you got to hit a woman, bro? Stuff like that. It's like, shut the hell up. You know what I mean? Like, if a woman is actually assaulting, comes at you with a, you know, a ice pick in your head, you know, coming at you with your face, you know, what are you going to do? Like, just pull back, bro?
That sounds like a normal weekend for me.
So, I mean, but the narrative is that women are special flowers and men are violent, drooling animals, and I think it's insulting.
But let me also bring up this point. Do you think that men are just less likely to call for help and ask for help?
Yeah.
I mean, the same, like, the age-old men don't stop and ask for directions. Like, the second I don't know where I'm going, I will ask every single person I see if they help me, tell me where to go, mm-hmm. even in the streets of New York. Mm-hmm. But I think men, and I don't know if it's, like, a psychological thing or a...
Yeah, something. Why do you think men are afraid to speak out?
I think just because it would make them look weak in a way. Mm-hmm. It would be like, maybe it's like the same way they claim girls are less likely to major in math and science, even if they are very good in the subjects, because they're afraid they'll look like unattractive or nerdy. Or I've read some articles recently about that, about mm-hmm. girls being less likely to major in those subjects.
You know, what was interesting about this video too is how Beyonce didn't step in, you know? And on The View, they talked about, you know, one of the hosts, she says, you know, if someone was attacked, nobody's going to lay a hand on my man. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to commit violence against my man. And now I understand that this is Beyonce's sister, so she didn't want to, like, you know, necessarily hurt her or do something like that. But what I want to know is, why didn't Beyonce defend Jay-Z? You know, why didn't she step in? Why did the bodyguard have to be the guy holding the psycho woman from attacking Jay-Z? Why wasn't his wife standing up and defending, you know, her against that kind of violence? You know, like, do you think she just didn't think it was any of her business? Or was she mad at Jay-Z and so it's okay if she flies off the handle and is an insane, crazy woman?
You know, I was in a similar situation once. I was with my boyfriend at the time and his friend, and it wasn't physical assault, but it was a verbal assault. Mm-hmm. And one of his friends said to me, you know, Sarah, you'd be the perfect girl if you just lost 10 pounds. Mm. And I was so mad at my boyfriend at the time for so long for not stepping in to defend me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think in that situation, whether it be verbal or physical, you have no choice but to help protect the person that you're with. Mm. So I think that she probably just didn't want to ruin her makeup, to be perfectly honest.
There's the Atlantic article put out an article saying there's four ways of looking at the Solange Jay-Z fight footage. I wouldn't call it a fight. I would call this abuse. One as the divine tragedy. Jay-Z and Beyonce, they aren't just famous people. They're icons in which the wife is as powerful as the husband. The little sister Solange has come to represent other things. One, of course, is the stereotypical drama, which people imagine to be inherent in show business families. She's also the torchbearer for a kind of counterculture. Solange is the hipster sister. So you kind of got these symbolic figures who give credence to the common interpretation of celebrity culture. And two, you look at it as a human tragedy. These are real human beings with real inner lives. And the inherent ugliness is kind of a part of what makes it fascinating. You can't defend the impulse that really when you remember, mass attention can only make life more difficult. Imagine like the struggle that they must be going through. Go ahead. Did you want to say something?
Also, I think you have to remember that there could have been a lot of energy behind this fight, mm-hmm. psychologically in the sister's mind, that we don't know what was going on. Women have a way of kind of letting things build. Mm-hmm. And I think that there may have been some jealousy. Like you look at the success Beyonce has had and how Jay-Z. Powerful and Jay-Z and the pictures and how, I mean, I want to be Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't even stop Googling pictures of them when you were telling me to research the article.
Right.
I was pretending to... how happy they are and pretending to be them. Uh-huh. So I'm sure that a lot of maybe that anger, there's more to it than we could ever know.
Sure. But the thing is that, you know, it's all about how society interprets the behaviors of these people and how I'm curious of how she was so rage-filled. We think it was because Jay-Z may have been flirting with his fashion designer.
Personally.
Drugs or alcohol, right?
But it was like crystal meth. But, she was like,
yeah, something like that. Yeah. Listen to this. What's in the video inevitably will be interpreted in relation to those abstract ideals that Beyonce and Solange and all these people are standing for. People are raising the notion of a racial element to the discussion of the video, with music critic Brandon Soderbergh worrying that some will use it to vilify those involved as conforming to, quote, ghetto stereotypes. Gender relations will be at issue, which is what we're talking about. Some commenters have praised Jay-Z for not hitting Solange back, and then others have said it's screwed up that anyone would need to praise a man for not hitting a woman. So why do you think people praise Jay-Z for not hitting her?
Because I don't know how he held it in. I mean, when we watched that video, before we even knew we were going to talk about this, I said, wow, he handled that really well. That was my first initial response.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to jump through the screen and kick her ass.
Grab her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, when you see somebody committing that kind of violence, you know, it stirs something primal within you to make you want to say, hey, you know, like, you're glad that the bodyguard was there to subdue her. But the thing that just drives you nuts was that she just wouldn't quit. She just wouldn't quit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what Sean Connery was talking about in his interview with Barbara Walters. When is it okay for a man to hit a woman? Sean Connery says when a woman just won't leave it alone.
Yeah, and the
when
shoe.
When she's had the last word. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just that she had the last word. It wasn't like she was just annoying Jay-Z getting his face, like maybe Rihanna was screaming at Chris Brown. She was kicking and punching and waiting and looking for every opportunity to use violence against her. I mean, Jay-Z was a saint for not hitting her.
Yeah.
And that's not because we expect a man to hit a woman. It's because in that situation, like, you would want to be like, you know, karate chop her to the neck. You know what I mean? Like, judo chop, put her down.
Yeah.
Because you're you don't want to get kicked in the ghibli bits. You know what I mean?
But, like, also you have to know is that their pain probably, maybe roughly, I have no idea, but over probably six figures for protection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a professional bodyguard in the elevator with them, right?
That was
the other
That's
guy.
That's his job.
So that is his job. So I think I wonder what would have happened had that bodyguard not been there.
I know.
Maybe he would have had no
imagine?
Choice but to really fight back.
Yeah, he had to stop. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, that is actually a really good point.
Yeah.
What would have happened if the bodyguard hadn't been in the elevator? You think Beyonce would have actually stepped in at that point?
I don't think the elevator would have stopped. My guess is that it probably would have been
It would have been a brawl.
It would have went to the lobby.
It would have been a brawl that went to the lobby if it hadn't been for the bodyguard.
Because he stopped the elevator. We forgot to mention that.
He stopped the bodyguard. Stopped the elevator. Now the guy who released the videotape has been fired. You asked the question before the podcast: could this guy be sued? I think the only way he can really be sued is if he sold the video to TMZ, which. If he sold it, man, he probably got a lot of money.
Oh my God. What would you guess? I would guess a million. More than a million, right?
$1 million? No. Probably like maybe $250,000. Like paparazzi photos and like videos that are the right videos, they can go for like $100,000, maybe $200,000 if it's the right photo or the right picture and stuff. So I'm guessing that if he sold it to TMZ, it's not $1 million.
But think about it. Like Jessica Simpson and those people, they get like $7 million for their wedding photos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I didn't know that. I don't follow this gossip stuff too much. I try and focus on the issues. But here's the last issue that The Atlantic brings up, which I think is actually a really important issue to talk about because it deals with culture and society, not just the violence. But this is evidence that we're living in the panopticon, which if you don't know what the panopticon is, it's the prison. We're all living in the prison, watchful prison. And everything that we do nowadays is being recorded.
I was just thinking that.
There is nothing that you can do anymore. Yeah. They make a kind of a joke here, but if TMZ had existed in the 1990s, Tupac and Biggie's murders would have definitely been solved.
It's so true. Even as trivial as this is, like I put something up on Facebook last night and then like kind of late and then I deleted it. And I got a text this morning from someone saying, oh, you were up late. I'm like, how did you know? I deleted it. They get email alerts. You can't delete anything.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's been happening to me more and more. Like yesterday, I posted a status yesterday morning about how I had a nightmare that I was getting stabbed in the back multiple times. And I woke up and I thought I was being killed.
Was it Solange? No.
No. But I thought somebody was stabbing me in the back because, you know, I got some crazy haters. So I thought somebody snuck in and was giving me puncture wounds. But I posted that, right? And then 10 minutes later, I was like, you know, I don't think I want to tell people I'm having terrible nightmares. Yeah. I'm probably going to question my sanity. And now I'm telling people on a podcast.
Well, you already have me on the show, so people are questioning your sanity.
But here's the thing. Like, I told people that, and then 10 minutes later, I took it down. But then it was too late because somebody brought it up to me later. I mean, they were like, hey, man, you had a bad dream last night? Blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, how'd you see that? You know, how'd you know that? Because there are people who have alerts.
And they don't get deleted.
And they don't get deleted because they get everything. And then I went and checked my Facebook followers. I mean, these are people who are my friends on my friends list. I've got something like 2,000 or 3,000 people who are my friends on my personal page. But there's something like 500 or 600 people who get everything I do on my personal page. So I got to cut that back. But let's just finish this topic on the issue of privacy here, because if Jay-Z...
Do you think Jay-Z knew he was... I mean, when you're a celebrity like that, even in my elevator, I know that I'm being recorded.
Absolutely.
So I won't even, like, adjust my bra or, you know, do anything in my elevator.
Yeah.
If I have, like, a guy coming over, I would never, like, show affection or do anything because I know I'm being recorded.
Right.
So I'm sure Jay-Z is constantly aware. He probably conducted himself as if he was being recorded.
Absolutely. You know? The only thing I ever do in an elevator when I'm alone is fart. I won't do anything else because nobody knows.
That's true.
Unless somebody gets in the elevator.
which could be bad.
But here, and so the thing is that We now have no expectations of privacy, I think. You know, you have to know that everything that you do everywhere is going to be recorded. And men, I think, probably know this for sure, especially men who are celebrities in the public spotlight. Jay-Z had to know if he raised a hand to Solange to strike her back, that would have been the end of his career, man. Or at least, like, it would have taken a big step back, like Chris Brown, you know?
But I'm really glad you brought up the point of everything being recorded and, like, everything we do being on display, because I struggle with that a lot myself. Like, I would like to ask you, do you try to fight back against keeping some privacy to yourself? Or, I mean, I kind of like live my life out loud. I just kind of let it all out.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I really do tend to live my life out loud.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few secrets that I have. You know, it's been hard ever since things have kind of kicked up into full gear the last few years for me to have a girlfriend and to... just because, like, you get weirdos who are, like, they're, like, celebrities, you know, because I'm, like, a D-lister on the, in the yeah. libertarian world right now, so it's kind of people, like, you know, I can get in the VIP sections of the Freedom Fest parties and things like that, and so people kind of know me. But the problem is that you get women and men, you know, who want to be close to you just because they want to get a touch of that fame.
Of course.
And so I have to be more careful now than I have ever had to be before. I get stalkers. I get people who chase me down, and I've had people seek out my personal information.
You're doing better than me.
Well, it's scary. It's scary when people actually do find something out about you that you don't want known, and they publicize it and they push it out on the internet. It's very scary. And so I guess I sympathize with Jay-Z because he probably was terrified. And think about when it actually came out. They were probably also scared when it came out. And you're glad that the guy got fired, whoever it was that released the videotape.
But what's the point of the firing means nothing now, right?
But my idea now is that I feel like I have no expectation of privacy. I pretty much assume anything I say or do could theoretically be published to the world. And here's the thing, too.
But accepting it, I think, is where you make a choice, right?
Right.
You could either fight against it mm-hmm. and try to keep your privacy and fail
right.
and be disappointed, or you could just kind of let it all out and let people see you for who you are.
That's pretty much the approach that I'm taking. Plus, I have a realistic view on this, because think about this. Not only, like, everything that you do in private that's electronically recorded, let's say your text messages or your emails are a perfect example. In 100 years, what do we do when we find a civilization that disappeared over 1,000 years ago? What do when we find all their stuff, right?
We go through. Decode their languages.
We decode their languages. We read everything that they wrote.
It's all
written words. It's all written words. But we go through their junk. We analyze their feces.
Yeah.
So do you really think that in 500 years, like even 200 years after we're dead, that the people who are listening to this podcast right now are listening to my voice after I've already died, that they're not going to want to go through the archives, the digital archives that the Congress is probably going to publish on Austin Peterson, the D-list libertarian who tried to expand personal freedom in the United States in a small way? Because, you know, I was a tiny little part of history, and people who wanted to know, people, future libertarians maybe, will take interest in this. And I will expect that they will read every single email. They'll know about every sexual relationship that I had, because they'll be able to get.
You're doing pretty good. I've seen them.
But the thing is that they'll know. They'll know those girls' names. They'll know every guy friend that I had a fight with back in college. They'll know all of that stuff, because every electronic transaction that I have will be released to the public one day. And I think that's just something you have to expect. It won't happen in my lifetime, but 100 years from now, 200 years from now, this civilization won't have any respect for the dead. They'll take a look at everything I have, which is why I actually try and conduct myself privately, as I want to be remembered by history. That's really how I try and live my life.
Yeah, I think that's really true, but I think for me, I want to be remembered, but I also want to be remembered for even the things that may embarrass me, or you learn from them, right? Mm-hmm. So despite the fact that this upset the world with this video and it caused a lot of people to, but look what it's done. We're questioning privacy. We're questioning gender roles. Mm-hmm. It did so much more than just entertain people for 4 minutes.
Yeah. Because number one, of who they are. And number two, the level of violence that was inflicted against someone who did not defend themselves, their behavior is called in question. And then the question of privacy, of whether or not, you know, anything that we do anymore. I mean, because think about it, you know, from Solange's point of view, here's the thing.
She got her 15 minutes of fame finally.
I know. Unfortunately, she's probably taking this as a positive, because now she's, you know, no publicity is bad publicity, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is that any other woman who is a discerning woman who is probably wants to be seen as a lady and not some ghetto punk probably would be embarrassed if something like this came out. How many times have you done something embarrassing and
a million
and not wanted it on video, and thought later it was the wrong thing to do?
I have a great story. You're going to love this.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I was in high school. I had a boyfriend, a very serious boyfriend, and I didn't realize, this is the communication level from, I'm only 27.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was 14, there was no Facebook. I mean, people barely had cell phones. I went to like 15 minutes away in a car, and I ended up going to a party and lying and cheating on my boyfriend at the time, which is the only time I've ever done that. And then it took him like 3 days to find out. Like, now it would be Five minutes. Overnight. Not even.
Yeah.
Like, there'd be a text message sent. It would take them 3 days.
Yeah. It's amazing because of how this technology, it's a double-edged sword, because it's like, it actually does make me want to behave better. It actually makes me careful with what I send over electronic things. It makes me never want to cheat or
do anything opposite. It does the opposite for me.
It makes you want to misbehave?
No, it makes me want to just like be as outrageous as I can. Because I realized that being outrageous gets people talking.
Well,
and
I
it
do
gets
that too,
people
but,
thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But what I mean is that when I'm careful about is like is what I go what goes through my online communications. And like here's the funny thing. Now I'm gonna open up. So women tend to be fairly open about sending naked photographs of themselves, right?
That is not true.
So I tend to get, I have some female admirers, and every once in a while they send me naked photographs of themselves. Okay, maybe they send them to me a lot.
Pixar, it didn't happen, Austin.
I will never tell who. But the thing is that I would never, ever, ever do the same. I never return it. And the thing is, women nowadays, they offer it. They're like, hey, baby, what's going on? Here's me totally naked. And I'm like, woohoo. And then they're like, hey, send one back. And I'm like, no, I would never do that. Because I know that immediately all it would take is, boom, get it out. Now somebody's going to hack my phone and try and find all my stuff. You cannot do that, Sarah. You can't do that anymore because nowadays it's just in a second your reputation is done. In a second it's over. And this is an issue that we've talked about before because you know what? This is an issue we should talk about right now. Revenge porn. Have you heard about revenge porn? Do you know what revenge porn is?
I do not.
Okay. So here's
a very celibate lifestyle.
Oh yeah, right.
I do.
Okay, here's the thing. Revenge porn is what happens when a boyfriend or girlfriend are dating. Sometimes the guy will send naked pictures or videos of themselves to the boyfriend. Then after they break up, in order to get revenge on them, the man will publish the photos of her online. His girlfriend is called revenge porn. So a lot of states right now are working to criminalize this. They're trying to make it illegal. And the ACLU has actually stepped in, the Civil Liberties Union has stepped in, or excuse me, not the ACLU, but the Virginia Civil Liberties Union specifically has stepped in to defend it as an act of free speech. So what I want to ask you, Sarah, is do you think it ought to be a crime to publish revenge porn from a failed relationship?
Well, I think that I've had, you know, my share of exes, and I've sent my fair share of photos. A lot of my boyfriends traveled a lot, so I guess we tried to keep the spark alive via technology. But for me, I think when you started talking, I thought of the quote, and the end of the quote, I won't read the whole thing, is how gracefully you let go of the things not meant for you. Mm-hmm. So what it really comes down to, it's not about the pictures you send, it's not about who you date, it's about how dignified you end something. So for me, I've always ended things on the most impeccable terms. There's not one ex that I don't have a conversational phone, and I've broken off engagements before properly. Mm-hmm. And there's not one person I can't call and they wouldn't help me if I needed help. And they would never publish, I have no worries they would ever publish a photo. So I think that what you need to learn how to do is not how to avoid sending pictures, how to not send sexy messages, mm-hmm. but to just learn how to gracefully walk away so these things don't happen.
Okay, but liberals who are like trying to criminalize this right now or hardcore, you know,
feminists. No, I think it's fine. I think if you send it, it's public, you know, you could put it out there.
Say what you mean now, Sarah. So you're saying that right now that if somebody wanted had a picture of you,
yeah,
and they that was your ex-boyfriend, and they wanted to start a website of sarahmillerporn.com, and they started posting pictures that you had sent to them, you would think that you would have no right to
sue
them.
No, they can't use my name to make money.
Okay.
So that's right, different.
So that's different.
So if they're making Sarah Miller porn and it's they're actually getting revenue from and trust me, there'd be a lot of hits on that site. A lot. I mean, if you want to go halvesies with me, maybe. I always said when I was in sales, I had a boyfriend and I really wanted to close a deal. It was like worth $30,000. I said to my boyfriend at the time, if you let me sleep with this guy to close this deal, I'll give you 10% of the profits. Mm-hmm. But like, I never did it, but like, you know, I think if there's profits involved.
Okay, if there's no profits involved, like let's say you and I were, you know, exes, boyfriend, girlfriend, you sent me pictures and I just published them online. Should the police come to my door and take me to jail and give me a fine?
No, I mean, I don't think. I think there has to be. Yeah, I think it's free speech. I think there has to be ways of getting around it. And there's actually, this is a really great point. There's a website called The Dirty, thedirty.com. And it is upsetting to me. There's a girl from my area. She just kind of hit it off big in modeling. She moved to LA and she's on The Dirty. They gave her like a nickname. They don't use her real name. They nicknamed her The Office. I don't know why. And boyfriends have sent these pictures of her, private pictures, and they're posting them on this website. And I just got it sent to me from a friend, and it was really disturbing to me. So it's really hard for me to say how I feel on this topic.
Because the thing is that I think that it should not be illegal, unless, you know, obviously you're profiting off of it. That was one thing, and you're using that person's name. I think it should not be illegal to post revenge porn online. The reason is because, one, I think it's free speech, and two, because I think that it creates, government should not be in the business of protecting people from their mistakes, men or women.
I agree.
I think that when you make mistakes that, you know, they're like, well, I trusted him, he was my boyfriend, and all that kind of stuff. Well, stop dating idiots. Why would you stop trusting the bad guys?
Right.
It's just like single moms who, like, you know, who go out there and they get knocked up by two or three different guys, and they're like, "Well, I trusted these guys." Like, stop breeding with idiots.
I agree.
You know, these guys, "Well, he's in jail. Where's my boyfriend? He's in jail. He's a drug dealer," and all that kind of stuff. But government steps in and subsidizes people's bad mistakes.
You're right.
Subsidize bad
decisions.
They encourage it. And if, again, it's a double standard. If you're a woman, the government will subsidize your bad mistakes. If it's a revenge porn, the government will step in and correct your stupid mistake. If you're a single mom, the government will step in and correct your stupid mistakes.
That's a really good point. I wonder what would happen if you know, in the issues of gay marriage, or if the mother, something happened to the mother, would the government support a single dad in the same way? I don't know how that works. Mm. I mean, I know in some ways, like, there's a lot of assistance for single moms. I don't know how it works for dads.
Right. Well, I think this is a good enough place to leave it as any. Sarah Miller, thank you very much for joining the Freedom Report podcast. Very exciting. You guys got to check her out. She's been writing some awesome stories. What was the story you wrote the other day? It was the, this girl, she got kicked out of prom because she was too sexy. It was a homeschooler prom. What the hell was the deal with that?
Yeah, there's probably a million girls in high school that got in trouble for sending naked photos around you. They got to go to their proms.
No, it was horny dads. It was the horny dads. They were all upset because she was too sexy, and they said they had to kick her out of prom because she was bumping and grinding.
Yeah, and my dad weighed in. He thinks that all the dads need to get out more.
Yeah,
that was his idea.
Well, they've been in marriages so long that they're bored.
They're locked up.
They're homeschooling dads, so they got to be a little weirdo, right? What did you say about the homeschoolers? You totally pissed off our homeschooler audience. What did you say about them?
I said, we all know they don't have nice. they don't have nice asses are friends.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So you got to read her story over at the Libertarian Republic. Check it out. Google horny dads on libertarianrepublic.com. And Sarah Miller is going to write a couple of stories today. What's your other story? What are your stories that you're writing today, Sarah? You picked one of those. It's about the girls who are bullying the autistic boy.
Yes, I'm going to write that one. And then there's the one about the guy who got in trouble for yelling at his girlfriend, and he was arrested because of purely his size. He never actually hit her.
Good Lord. Yeah. All right. Talking about those double standards, ladies and gentlemen, that's Sarah Miller, the Libertarian Republic. Thank you very much for listening. If you guys like our podcast, go to iTunes and subscribe. If you really like us, leave us a positive review because that helps us out. We really appreciate it. If you guys also want to get us on Android, if you don't have iTunes, you can download an app called Stitcher, and you can find us on Stitcher. That way you can get us every single day. Your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.
And one last thing, if you want to find naked pictures of me, you can send Austin an email and name your price, because he has some.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening.